Good morning. I'm sure you have heard many sermons, messages on prayer. And I probably won't be able to tell you anything new, but my hope is to raise a need or have to pray for conviction in your life. The 40 days of prayer, if I might say, it's a guideline for us to get back to prayer. A guideline for us to pray, really. That's what it is, I believe. It's not that, you have to do this, you know. But it's a guideline that the church set up for us to encourage to pray. And I really believe that that's what we try to accomplish. And that's a great thing to do, the 40 days of prayer. Let me tell you about my brother Keith. I had the privilege to drive him to the airport on last Monday, and I'll tell you, just being around him makes me feel joy. There is a great amount of anticipation in his life. I could see him. There's great amount of joy in his life. Between you and I, since Pastor Keith is not here, and Cece, you know, my brother, knowing him, he's the youngest out of the six kids that we have. So we have a big family, six brothers and sisters. And Keith, he loves kids. He loves kids. I don't know if it's going to kill me or not, but telling you this. But I remember before, when he met Cece, I was Cece's pastor. I met her when she was 16 years old, so I know her, Cece, for a long, long time. And she's a wonderful, amazing person. And then, so Keith came up to me, go, "Hey, Jim, I'm very interested in Cece," right? Goes, "Wow, yeah, you know, I'm glad, I'm happy for him." And so what do you think? So I said, "Well, you know what? As your brother, this is brother talking, all right? A friend to friend might be different, but brother to brother is, you know, this is how I said to him, you know? She's an amazing person. There's no, I would, as your brother, I don't think there's anybody in the church who would deserving it, you know, and I think Cece will be the perfect person for you." But you also know that she also have this illness. Are you okay with that? That have lupus, right? So she might not have children. You know, you guys might not have kids. You okay with that? You know? So Keith, your pastor, has great faith. And he prayed, you know, and I know for a fact that with God's following, with lots of prayer and following God's will and discerning God's will, he pursued Cece. And driving him this on last Monday, it really touches me because I know the whole story behind his life in some ways with Cece. And why I'm telling you this is to this day when they went into to receive this baby girl. To me, it was an act of miracle of God. understand? So prayer has led him to this point. His faith has led him to this point. To me, it's such a joy to see that, to witness that. You know that there's a collage in the Facebook that they put up on, I don't know how many of you saw it. I look at the picture and all of us teared because there's this display of excitement, anticipation, of faith and grace. And you can see Cece when she had embraced that Audrey. You kind of know she's not going to let her go. Her goal. It was such a precious moment. All the prayers and faith, and God has blessed your pastor. I didn't mean to start with this, but I started with this. And on a personal level, I was single. I was 32, and I haven't been dating for a long, long time. And I was in the last year of seminary at Regent, and so in my mind, I thought, you know, it'd be nice to be married when I serve God in the church. And as a single person working in the church, it's probably better to be married, you know, leading a congregation. So not because of that I'm starting looking for a person, but you know, I was really open to finding someone to serve with and to live my life with. And the group that we have prayer and worship I was on the worship team, and just before we, you know, go up and practice, we sat in a circle and we pray and we, you know, share a little bit and we would pray. And then during that meeting, we have everybody pray. I'm sorry, everybody share something, and then a person would volunteer to pray. So it's a prayer meeting we had. And so for some reason, what impressed my heart is, you know, was I want people to pray for me about a life mate. So pray for a wife for me. I wasn't sure if I should do it, should, you know, share that request, but I did. And after I shared that request, I was embarrassed out of my mind. I was a little bit hurt. I'll tell you why. Because as soon as I mentioned it, there were people laughing. Not, you know, out loud. You know, they were giggling, right? I can understand. You know, you don't hear people, hey, I'd like to, if you guys mind, pray for a wife for me. You know. I wasn't, it's not that I'm desperate, pray for a wife for me, you know, but I made that request because it was important to me. So I did. I was embarrassed. I was a bit hurt by not comments, but just the body language. So time for volunteer. You know what? There was a long pause of silence. No one volunteered to pray. I was like, please, someone just pray for me. This one sentence prayer will be nice. I was really embarrassed out of my mind. And then finally, a person volunteered to pray. And as you were praying, and he came up to the sentence, Lord, please pray for, and then he giggles a little bit, a suitable mate for Jim. And so forth, and then amen. In my mind, it goes, Lord, and then I prayed. Like, in my mind, like, you know, people were sharing, and in my mind, I was just quietly in within my heart, I prayed, Lord, I really feel bad. I feel embarrassed, and I feel hurt by what had happened. I, some way, regret what I did. So that was that. Didn't know what's going to happen. Exactly 3 weeks later, I met Frida. Exactly 3 weeks later, I met Frida. Out of nowhere, I met her in a conference, a Bible conference. Met her, and then things went, you know, uphill, and it was amazing. Time we had together in our courtship when we were dating. How I put the move on her is another story, okay? I'm not gonna talk about it here. But why am I sharing this story? Is this. I believe God wants us to be in a situation where it's okay to be embarrassed for me. It's okay to be, when you do, and you get stricken down on my behalf. You know, sometimes when we don't want to do things or for God or because we might hurt someone. No. Or you might get hurt or a situation that you might not be too comfortable in. But a lot of times, that position is where God wants you to be. You know, even in a position where I might regret it, you know what? Because prayer is not about me. Or it's not about moving God's hands. It's about me changing, God changing me in prayer. You see? It's not that, I needed this, or Lord, please, Lord, I needed this, or I want this, I want that, or bless me, bless that. Prayer is not about that. Prayer, it's about me. It's about God changing me. That's what prayer is. What it is that my incident, my experience with God is that God had to change me before I found someone. But if you want, okay, Lord, if you want me to guide you to that person, then you break down before me. That's what it is. A lot of us, even including myself, we perceive prayer as like, I needed something, or whatever, the church needs something, all we have to do is gutter and pray. What I learned about prayer, it's the most humbling thing you could ever approach. We cannot approach with already biased a concept about the things you're already praying, you want to pray for. But rather, it's about, hey Lord, I can't do anything without you. It's about, Lord, there's absolutely nothing we could do about this. It's not our doing. But we pray because you're the only one could able to make this possible. And we are humbly, selflessly submitting our situation our experiences, our lives to you in such a way. To me, that's how we need to approach it. Reverently, in fear of God. I noticed there is a prayer, reading your bulletin. You guys have a prayer time, church prayer meeting on Tuesdays. Tuesday at 7:30 to 9. I don't know how many people show up to those things, to that meeting. But of a church about 60 people here in this congregation, if it's only like 2-3 people shows up, to me, this is not a praying church. And you just look at it. I don't know if you thought, oh, hey, this would be nice to come and see what's, I haven't been there. But if only 2-3 people shows up out of the 60 among us, I'll tell you right now, I don't know how God can change this church or motivate this church or even speak to the church or lead this church per se, because you guys, we don't even want to, God's help seems like. So I hope, you know, this morning that I can encourage all of us to take this matter a little more seriously, because without God, without prayers, really, we don't have much of a spiritual life. All of us, how many of us have cell phones here? All of us have cell phones there. I just got my iPhone 5 from TELUS. And, you know, I'm playing around with it, you know, checking my emails. I had this app called WhatsApp, you know, checking on that because we have a Chung WhatsApp group, right? So, your pastor, Keith, would post pictures on WhatsApp so we all can see as family. You know, and then, so we all rely on the cell phones, connecting to whoever and emails and whatever business or friendship, Facebook. And there's one thing I realized, that the more we go into iPhones and whatever you have, You know how the statistics say that one out of the four people could not leave the phone? So if someone left their home, went to work or went somewhere and left their phone at home, they would actually drive back and get it. They cannot part from their phone. What am I trying to say is, if only if we approach God that way, our lives will be so different. That we cannot live without God. We got to go back and pray first, and then we can go back, right? Go out. Seriously. But the only, there's another thing about the feature in iPhone 5. There is a feature called Siri, talking phone. You know, you go, Siri, search Pastor Keith for me. And then boom, call Keith, boom, it's right there. I go, wow, this is amazing. Search Japanese restaurant Richmond. And it all tells me there are 14 da 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 da. I was like, wow, amazing. And my kids caught on to it. You know what my kids is doing to my iPhone? He goes, can I borrow you? We want to play with the iPhone. You know what they're doing? They go, Siri, are you a boy or a girl? They started asking questions. Of course, it would reply in a very normal way. He goes, irrelevant? Or is that relevant? Is that matter? Right? Wow. Siri, are you married? They were asking these questions. You know, you know, if only we approach our phones in such way, like prayer, like a lifestyle, because our cell phone has become our lifestyle. And honestly, that the amount of time we spend with God, the amount of time we spend on our iPhone, I'll tell you, we would be in tune with God. Jeremiah 33, if you have your Bibles, please turn to it. It's a short passage. Verse 1, it says, while Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it, established it, the Lord is his name. And here it is. This is one of my favorite verses. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. That has been it is my favorite verse. And for a long, long time. This is the word of God. What does he want us to do? He wants us to call to him. That's the very first thing I want to tell you. That he wants us to call to him. Last week, just a couple days ago, actually yesterday, my son Jonah, he goes, Dad. I goes, yeah. We were on our way to a hockey game. I took him to a UBC T-Bird hockey game. He goes, on the way there, he goes, Dad. He goes, yes. What's the matter, Jonah? He goes, oh, nothing. I hate that when he does that, right? You know, no, really, Jonah, what's up? What's on your mind? I was really, you know, trying to be sensitive with him. Go, tell me what's going on. Oh, nothing. I know there's something. Already in my mind goes, I know there's something. No, really, tell me what's going on. And he goes, do you think I got a good marks in my science project? He was working hard. This was a computer thing, right? Actually, he created in Minecraft. He created a science project, and then of course he recorded it, and as he was speaking, he would explain what's going on, you know, answering question, you know. Anyways, I goes, I think you did a great job, yeah, because I saw it too, right? You know, do you think you did answer all the questions they asked you to do? He goes, yeah. So don't worry about it. You know, I think you did really good. But my point is, as a father, right, I am so thrilled that he goes, hey, Dad, he called on me. And how do I feel? I felt really amazing about it. So what does God the Father want us to do? We are his children. What did he want us to do? He goes, call on to me. Call on to me. And that's it. All I have to do is pick up the iPhone, you know, and not call on God, but, you know, in that gesture, calling him. While you're driving, God. God would say, yes, my dear. What's on your mind? You'd be walking. He goes, God, thank you for the weather, or thank you for this, or forgive for that. He wants us to call on him. He wants us to call, to check the email he's sending you, or the WhatsApp message. He's sending you messages. He wants to check all the time, constantly. He wants us to call on him. You got to understand, Jeremiah is sitting in prison. The whole country is in a shambles. Jerusalem would destroy. And what is God saying to him? Don't worry about it. Call on me. Care. Jeremiah is in a vulnerable situation. He's beat up. There's nothing for him. There's nothing he could do to save Jerusalem or any the world. What did God wants him to do? Just call on me. Just call. Call unto me. Sometimes in calm, quiet, peaceful prayers, sometimes in urgency of cries and passion, praying, crying to God. Sometimes it's just a, hey God, thank you. Sometimes there's no words. You can utter a prayer. But there is a heart of prayer. John Bunyan said, when you pray, you rather pray with a heart without words than praying with lots of words without heart. In the Bible, the idea of calling upon God is plentiful. Psalm 50, call upon me in the days of trouble, I will deliver you. Jeremiah 29, you will call upon me and I'll come and pray to me. And I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your what? Heart. Psalms 10, you hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them. You listen to their cries. Isaiah 30, the Lord will hear your crying, and he will comfort you. When he hears you, he will help you. Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. So what happens when you call on him? The second part of the verse says, I will answer you. I'll tell you right now, you call on Siri on the iPhone, he could only answer you very technically. He might not even answer you at all. Some people pray to Buddha, but Buddha doesn't answer you. Muhammad is no longer here. People pray to the sky or to the earth. The nature itself does not answer you back. But God, you pray to God, and God will come to you, and he will answer you. I believe God will answer you in four different ways. Yes. No. Yes. Later, yes, not your way, but my way. Whether God answer you or not, he will answer you. I'll tell you right now. Every little prayer that you utter to him, whether it's big or small, he will answer you. But what about there's always that, you know, I've been praying for my sick friend for a long, long time. How come God never healed him? Or her. Will God answer your prayer the first time you ever prayed that prayer? Because it's God's timing when that person is healed. Physically, that person may not be healed in your sight, in your timing, but to God, that person is totally healed. So very different perspective how we look at it and how God looks at it. we look at a sick person, that doesn't mean that person is sick. But to God, God has this plan. He not only answered us, He promised to show us great and mighty things, or unsearchable things. He not only said, yes, I will answer your prayer, but he'll come to you and say, you know what? There's a lot of things you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know, you might be paying, Lord, I needed $100. For some reason, you got $100, all right? But God might give you, in the process of it, He'll even bless you more. You know, since money is the root of all evil, maybe this is not a good example. No. The idea is that He'll give you far more than you ever could ask for. And I believe that your pastor and CC's life exemplify that. When God, they pray for a child to be in their life, you know what God's blessed them with? God blessed them with not only you, this family of God, but they're blessing him a family in the child. They bless them the joy that comes with having a child. To me, God did not only bless those three people, like Audrey, CC, and Pastor Keith. He blessed the whole extended family. My side, your Pastor Keith's side of family, and also CC's side of family, we're all ecstatic. We're all like jumping for joy, literally. That part of it, we never thought of it. See, when God blesses one person, it extended to the whole family. So when God said, you know, call on me, I will answer you. But not only I'll answer you, but I'm going to bless you the things that you even could never imagine. So when this church come before God in prayer, and God will answer you, all of you. God will answer you as a church. And I really believe that when we come together as a church, God will answer this church. And not only answer this church, but also bless this church beyond these four walls of the church. You know, just this past weekend, I was sharing with a person from another church. And what's going on in that church is this. The pastor is not really doing, there's no leadership in the church. All right? They lost, in the last 3 years, the church really disintegrated, basically. A lot. The church leader want to come together and propose that we need to shut down. And the question I want to ask is, what has gone wrong with this church? If this church is God's, if everybody came every Sunday to worship God, what happened? I'll tell you right now, it's not because of a lack of prayer or lack of this or lack of that. I'll tell you, it's because the people within the church have left God out the picture. Here's my question to you all. Where's God in our church? Well, maybe we can, before we ask that question, where is God in my life? And then the second question is, where is God in my church? And that's the worst thing we can do, is leave God out of our lives. In a personal way, my life would fall apart. Spiritually, I will disintegrate. We become people who simply don't care, indifference. I want to do things my way rather than God's way. I'll tell you right now that God probably won't listen to heartless people prayers, because Amos chapter 5 explains that if a congregation who doesn't care about God or leave God behind in the picture, when they come together, God is not going to be involved in this. And he warned us. Again, prayer is not about moving the hands of God, but about moving us. Philip mentioned earlier that prayer is about listening to God. And there's a book called Listening Prayer by Leanne Payne. It talks about how when in our prayer, that's when God speaks the most. So when you're praying, you better have a listening ear. Because God revealed his truth, his will to us as we are praying. And that is so true. So my friends, I hope I impart this message to you, that call unto me, God says, and I will answer you, and will give you great and unsearchable things that you can ever imagine. This coming week is October 31st. It's Halloween night. Halloween is a night that I think is very spiritual, in a sense that a lot of people place a lot of emphasis on demons, devils, and dragulas, and so forth. We as Christians, we need to come to God in prayer, not only in a personal level, but also in a corporate level. Pray for that there's no harm done on us, on our children. And how do we deal with our kids when they want to go trick-or-treating, right? And how do we explain to them all this? And we need prayers. And I hope that sets a pace toward this week. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the great privilege that we can come to you in worship and able to open your word to us. And we certainly find it comforting knowing that you are the one that longs and chases after us. As we are lost in our sins, in our own ways. And then we thank you for waking us up spiritually to see the need to prayer and to connect with you. Father God, we ask for your forgiveness in our lives, in our church, that you would forgive us as we have been ignoring you or have left you behind in our lives. And so, Father God, we pray that you would continue to challenge us, open our heart to you, protect us from the evil one. Has he always on his toes to destroy us and make us fall? And how much more we need to connect with you? And how much more do we need to keep tabs on you? How much more do we need to come to you in prayer and call upon you? And so, Father God, with all the great experiences we have heard and seen, and knowing that you are truly a living God who answers our prayers, help us to live it out and internalizing that truth, that will make a lifestyle out of it, so our lives will walk in your will and your ways. So I pray for this church, that you honor it and protect it and bless it, and that people will step up and take initiative and become prayer warriors, and encourage each other that, hey, I pray for you today, not knowing what's going to happen, because you do, because you are in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.